one of the reasons that we're doing some of the things that we're doing, and definitely in having the children up here and stuff, is creating an atmosphere that attracts heaven, where Jesus is enthroned, where it's not ordered around our comfort. Some people, it probably makes you uncomfortable having kids running around. That's okay. It's okay. Maybe you're worried about them knocking something over. Or you know what? The enemy's worried about them attracting a glory of God that eradicates cancer in the room. So sometimes we are used to a certain amount of order, and I understand that, but your order is not his order. I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven. The same voice I heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast. Sometimes it gets loud. Instantly, I was in a spirit. In the spirit, I saw a throne in heaven, someone sitting on it. The one sitting on the throne was as brilliant as gemstones, like jasper and carnelian, and the glow of an emerald encircled his throne like a rainbow. I saw Eden riding a unicorn through here a minute ago. You know, that's in the Bible, too. Really, it is. 24 thrones surrounded him, and 24 elders sat on them. They were all clothed in white and had gold crowns on their head. From the throne came flashes of lightning and the rumble of thunder. And in front of the throne were seven torches with burning flames. I hadn't seen that in the church lately. This is the sevenfold Spirit of God. In front of the throne was a shining sea of glass sparkling like crystal. In the center and around the throne were four living beings, each covered with eyes front and back. The first of the living beings was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a human face, and the fourth was like an eagle in flight. Each of these living beings had six wings, and their wings were covered all over with eyes inside and out. Day and night, and day after day and night after night, they kept on saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and is still to come." Still to come. That's our God. It said, whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne, and they lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased." That's the atmosphere that you are being invited into as a son and daughter of God. Why wait till we get there? Let's just begin to welcome that level of worshiping Jesus, that participation of worshiping him, where he can do what he pleases to do. He can build what he pleases to build. That's what'll change the earth. Amen. Kaylin, why don't you go ahead and come up here? I don't want to take up any more time, but Kaylin Crane, if you don't know her, is an amazing mother, an amazing wife to Brandon Crane, and they lead a home group out at their house called the Boat Group that Jeff Simons helps oversee, and they've been doing that for quite some time, and they really carry the heart of God, the love of God, and the wisdom and revelation of God. And I told her, I said, before you even come and speak into this family, you've already succeeded. You've already partnered with the plan of God over your life. And so we're just really grateful for them, and felt like this was a time where we normally have a woman share on Mother's Day, and God was specifically just highlighting Kaylin. And so let's just pray over her and welcome her and bless her today. You can give her a hand if you want. Jesus, we thank you. We praise you for this mighty woman of God, your daughter, in whom you take great delight, Lord. Thank you for what you've done inside of her heart, God, and for what's busting at the seams, that your continued work, your glory just overflowing out of her life, Lord. As a mother, God, as a just a woman of faith. God bless her to be able to just release the words of life, of passion, of love, of adventure, God, of redemption, Lord, of freedom for all those who have an ability to hear. God, just open our hearts to hear what you're saying through this life that's been laid down for you. And we bless her, God, with all the fullness of the Holy Spirit to flow freely with you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Before I start, I'm going to ask Loralise and the Harbor Girls to come up for just a second. They have something to present to the church. I'm so glad y'all are here, too. It makes me so happy.
I promise I won't take up too much time. We wanted to come here today. What a great day for Mother's Day for y'all to get to see y'all. Y'all can tell I'm from Arkansas. Y'all, you all. So those of you who may be visiting who don't know who we are the Harbor Home, and we are a place where women who struggle with addiction, women that come in to our program, to our home, when their life is a mess and they need Jesus. And I thought it would be a great day on this Mother's Day for y'all to get to see. When you give, these are the fruits right here in front of you. These are the lives that are changed, amen. And I'm really excited because y'all get to see some of these mothers who, if it were not for God changing their lives and getting them on the right path and restoring their families, they wouldn't have their children today. And here you see some of the children. See, there's three out of them. anyway, she's not too happy. I don't know what's happened anyway. But we just wanted to say thank you to the church for your giving to us every month. You're faithful to give. And if it weren't for you guys, if it weren't for you ladies, if it weren't for you ladies, we wouldn't have a ministry, right? But if it weren't for this church and people like you, we would not be able to do what we do. So we just want to say thank you. Happy Mother's Day. And also, I would also like to say to any mothers out there who have prodigal children, your prayers work. And you will see them come home. I know that some of you may be thinking, you know, I have a daughter in addiction. I just want you to look up at this stage and see that prayers do work. And there are a lot of happy mamas here today, not only to have their children, but because their daughters, their granddaughters are up on this stage. And I just want to thank you. And Pastor Blake, I should have called you up in the first place. And this is just to say thank you.
Thank you. Hey, we love y'all. We love y'all. We want to continue to help. When you're in this program. Yeah, we love y'all. Believe in y'all. Y'all are amazing.
Thank you. I'm going to drink some water.
Happy Mother's Day to all the mamas, the stepmamas, bonus mamas, not stepmamas, bonus mamas, and the moms that are praying to be mamas right now in this season. We're believing with you, and we love you. So, I'm going to share how I got to where I am right now. Hopefully, I can keep it together for y'all, but okay, so about a year ago, I'm just going to go right into it. Are y'all ready to break boxes today? Because God's coming to break your boxes of who you think that he is. Because he's doing that in my life right now. So I've got a few things I'm going to go over. But I'm going to start with how I got where I'm at right now, which is a stay-at-home mom. If you knew me a year ago, I was in nursing school and so excited. And I am breaking off the generational thing where no one in my family went to college. That's what I thought. You know, I'm going, I'm going to help people. Like, I was just like, this is the right thing. Anyways, a few things happened, and I had some women with wisdom that really helped me see what God was actually doing, because I was like, this is what I'm supposed to do. So what's happening? This doesn't even make sense. There's just a lot of things that came up. And Leah, is she in here? Hi, girl. You're over here today. Okay. So I remember Leah telling me, honey, I don't think it has to do with any of that. I think it has to do with you sitting in motherhood, because I was also pregnant in nursing school, okay? My husband's name's Brandon. I have a 9-year-old son, and I have a 7-month-old daughter named Ellie Grace. So I was pregnant with Ellie Grace. And anyways, Leah was like, this is just a time I feel like the Lord's trying to teach you to sit in motherhood and understand how sacred it is. Whew. Those words struck me because I was a 17-year-old single mom for a while, and I've just been in protective mode, survival mode, all this stuff. So sitting in motherhood and understanding that it's sacred. Had to sit on that for a bit. Not too long after that, those wise words, Kat, who is not here, prophesied over me. And basically all that's happened since then. So also want to say that. So basically I'm not in nursing school anymore. I am at home. And I'm someone that said I would never, ever do that. I would never be a stay-at-home mom. God has a sense of humor, y'all. So just know that. Anyway, so now I'm home and he's dealing with me. And it's funny because anytime you feel he's asking you to be obedient, and it's really crazy. Your family probably thinks you're crazy. Anyways, you're probably on the right track. So he always shows up, though, and confirms things when he doesn't have to. So let's just say I'm at home. My husband has a good job. He loves it at this time. But a few months later, an even greater opportunity comes out of nowhere. Okay, God. We see you. Confirming, like, I'll take care of you and your family. I've got y'all. Don't worry. Anyways, so that's cool. He's done that so many times. Trust him with your finances and do whatever he's asking you to do. Be obedient because he will take care of you and he is faithful. So, okay. Let's see. So he's been dealing with me, y'all. And I am someone that's kind of like on and off Facebook. Or not Facebook, Instagram. I'm like, I'm on social media, then I'm off. I'm just like, Anyways, I happen to, and I think that social media, some people have amazing, they're using it as an amazing platform, and then some it's just like, y'all know, it's messy. So, anyways, I came across an article that wrecked me and convicted me big time. So I'm going to just read the article because I printed it out and kind of share what convicted me in hopes that women in this room, if you are stirred and you feel anything in this, I really pray and hope that this changes things for you. Anyways, okay, so I'm going to skip down a little bit. The last number of years, God has stirred in my soul a deep, urgent, aching desire to search my own heart, and I call to my fellow sisters to search theirs, to confess, to repent, to, yes, weep and mourn and fall on our faces over the stubborn hearts and the rampant rebellion that has come to represent Christian womanhood. Yes, Christian womanhood. We have not been amazing nor excellent. We have not loved, embraced, and sincerely pursued lives of willing and joyful submission to our husbands, walking that out in the fear of the Lord. In the fear of the Lord. All right. And before I keep going, I forgot about this part. I thought nursing school, like breaking off that, I was going to break off, you know, no one in my family's going to college, I'm going to graduate, that's what I'm breaking off. But actually, God was like, I'm going for the family, because the family's been thrown in the corner, and you're actually breaking that off generationally. And that does powerful things. Your home, whoo, how you steward your home, that's why Blake brings what he brings, because he's stewarding his home, because Mallory's stewarding their home. That's why I feel like there's just transformation in this place. Every Sunday I leave different. How about y'all? Yeah. I mean, this is crazy and amazing, and we are stepping into new territory. Anyways, back to this, okay? We have not been thankful for who God made us to be. We have not lived in humility and embraced the priceless, unspeakable, beautiful role of serving and supporting behind the scenes, and we have failed to see and believe the eternal ramifications of that. This is mostly because we don't know or don't believe what Scripture has to say about us women. Okay. We have had the arrogance and the audacity to not only set ourselves up to judge enough to know our husbands need to change, but also to take it upon ourselves to set out to change them. All while not doing the one thing Scripture tells us wives that we can use to influence our husbands for God, changing our own behavior and being obedient to them. I'm gonna let y'all sit on that for a second. Okay. We have acted as our husband's mother. I'm gonna just say, there's several things she names here, but I'm just gonna say what I've been convicted of. Is that cool? We're just gonna get real, real. And I'm saying this because I want to be here for all the moms. Anybody that feels this way or you're like, man, I need to repent. I want to be there for you. I want to tell you what I've had to deal with and you come to me or whatever. Because we tell a fellow believer, and we confess to them, right? And we can be praying for one another. But anyways, I have acted as my husband's mother, teacher, policeman, third member of the Godhead, everything except his helpmeet, his love, and true friend. Those are the things I would say I've been. There's more. I could keep going. But to me, I needed the examples of what a biblical wife is not. I guess to be aware of what I need to work on. Because we can read all day what it is, but this has just wrecked me. Okay, so we have had the presumptive gall to put ourselves in the place of God and of men, to obsess and speculate loudly over male behavior, to make ourselves judge of what is acceptable and what is not, to condemn them with labels such as toxic, rather than focusing on our own areas of shameful shortcoming, and to run our unbridled tongues on subjects about which we are truly, run our unbridled tongues on subjects about which we are truly not even qualified to speak. We have grasped for control, power, comfort, pleasure, to be heard, and do things our own way. So for me, I know there's authority that's been abused in here. I know there's been lack of authority maybe in your life. So even for me as a wife, I've had to like do some healing because my husband wants to lead me in the right way. He doesn't want to lead me astray. Just because things in the past have happened, I've had to like, Lord, help me see my husband and what you're doing through my husband, right? Because I know people have been hurting here. We've all been hurt in some way. So anyways, we have been gossipy, busybodies, disobedient to our husbands, and by some miracle, we've managed to spiritualize all this behavior in our minds. Anybody else? Busybodies, and I'm someone that's like, yes, oh my gosh, I'm like, and gossipy. So I say gossipy, if you're calling your friend to talk about your husband, before you talk about your husband and what he's done to make you mad, that's, I would consider that gossipy. So I'm like, ooh, sorry, Lord. Anyways, we have been brazen without fear of God. She keeps repeating without fear of the Lord. How are we being wives? How are we being moms? Do we have the fear of the Lord when we're doing this? So without fear of God or his ordained order of authority, and then have the gall to call it strength. Whoo. That's me too. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Lord, man. Okay. We have followed our hearts and they have led us astray. When I say we, I mean professing Christian woman as a whole, and in general, with exception, we have become hopelessly, tragically indistinguishable from the godless world around us. Some may sneer at this, and some may know exactly what I'm saying. Some of you are sick of fighting your husbands. You're sick of faking your life. Sick of the struggle, sick of holding in resentments, sick of the energy that it takes to be stubborn and proud and defensive. Yeah. Me right here. sick of trying to explain away passages of scripture directed towards women, sick of trying to live with one foot in your biblical row and the other squarely in the world's way of doing things, sick and exhausted from acting like your husband's Holy Spirit. Yes. Thank you. Are you longing to be honest, craving truth that will set you free, wishing for a clean slate, desiring more holiness, and wanting to press on to higher things? I've heard Leah say this plenty of times. Are you wanting to start building your home rather than tearing it down? Anybody? Aching for a glorious marriage, done with the excuses, the winking at sin? Okay, this right here. Our men are likely to become bold, strong warriors for Christ who lead their families, change their communities, inspire other men, and charge the gates of hell if at home, so they're not likely to be these things, if at home they are disrespected, disobeyed, unappreciated, nagged, emasculated, belittled, interrupted, gossiped about, and their every other decision questioned, disagreed with, or challenged. I'm just going to keep going. Okay. Our sons will probably not grow up to cherish, respect, and protect women if their mother was anything but respectable and lovable. Our daughters will probably not grow up to have happy marriages, enjoy running their homes, and find deep fulfillment in loving and shaping the next generation, and joyfully submit themselves to male authority in the church if we don't. And our children are most definitely not going to have a healthy relationship with authority in life if we tear down the image God chose as their closest and single most visible example, our marriages. Okay. The thing is, we can't just resolve to do better. We can't just muscle up and buckle down and try harder. Blake's told me that plenty of times, and Miss Amy. We all know that's how we land on our faces. We cannot do this apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. And we will not be living with the reality of that power as long as we are grieving his voice in our hearts. We will not be benefiting ourselves of all he has to offer as long as we're denying our sin, ignoring passages that speak directly to us rather than taking them for exactly what they say, digging in our heels about our roles in the home, church, and towards our husbands. Ever opposed your husband? So the Bible says that in God's eyes, 1 Samuel 15:23, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Ever opposed your husband? Despise having to do things his way? Been uncooperative, stubborn, witchcraft, iniquity, idolatry. God said it. So basically, this is her vision for sharing all of this. Confession, repentance. So I'll just share. I read this. I had my husband print it out. So I'm like, oh, my honey's sitting this for a few days because I got a lot of confessing and repenting to do. So basically, it's time for us to get alone and get serious. Ask God to break and grieve our heart if you're not at that place already. So pour it all out. Confess all the sin that's been weighing you down. He knows it anyway. There's great healing in confession because I've experienced it. Because since this, I've wrote my husband and my son a letter to apologize and confess. Pray for God to change you, to make you sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to completely erase any wrong and preconceived notions about what marriage or child rearing should look like, to help you live in thankfulness rather than resentment, to teach you what it truly means to reverence and respect your husband, to help you believe the truths that would help you delight in your role. Okay, so I obviously sat in this for a bit to figure out, like, Lord, search my heart. How much of this am I? And anyway, so I wrote out a letter. I got with the Lord, and then I wrote out a letter to Brandon and then to Logan, my son. Because if you've ever disrespected your husband in front of your kids, probably need to apologize to them too. Because ultimately, he's the leader of our home. And we are supposed to respect and follow him and trust him because that's who God has put over our home, period. So anyways, I wrote them both a letter. And for me, confessing all the things that I've done and then repenting has really helped our home, in my opinion. And he's also been able to share. We've just been able to have conversations since then that are no superficial conversations. They're uncomfortable ones, just saying. But to just humble ourselves, go to our husbands, if we're any of those things to them. Go to our children, if we've ever questioned our husband in front of our children. And I've definitely done that. Write a letter to your husbands or just talk to them and your kids too. So anyways, God has really been just dealing with me and breaking boxes because, man, it's like this is really what he's asked us to do. And for me, I just needed a list of things that you do wrong to figure out where I'm at. And that's truly helped me. So if I hope today this stirs your hearts, and if you need to repent, if you need to confess, just know it's, hopefully your husband would be happy, you know what I mean? And ready to, they feel respected in that. That's what me and Brandon talked about, respected, for you to just confess and see what you've done and how you've made them feel. So, also going to read Titus 2, because this family right here has some really wise women, really wise women. And this is all I could think about as I read this. Okay, these older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then, they will not bring shame on the word of God. Ooh, wait, I'm gonna reread that. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. I don't want to bring shame on the word of God, for sure. So that verse, and I thought of, I could name probably all of you women that have helped me. Seriously, thank y'all for that. But also, something else I want to share with you guys that I came across, and this may be an uncomfortable may make you feel uncomfortable, but just sit with me. Stay here. God's going to do something today, and I'm really expectant for what he's going to do. I watched a documentary on abortion and came across an organization called Embrace Grace. And this is what they're about, okay? This is what we are about, too. We're pro-life, right? We're pro-life, but then what do we do after that? Girl, you better keep that baby. Then what? How are we helping these moms? How are we supporting them after that? What are we doing as a church? So I was going to have Mallory play a video, and then I was going to speak a little bit more on that. I'm really, really excited because this is just an exciting thing that God's doing. It's broke my boxes just learning about Embrace Grace and how he really feels about us. Before you started too, I was 17 and pregnant, and it was the hardest thing ever, and didn't have much support. So this is another reason you should know, as you watch this video, why it stirred my heart. Let's go, y'all. I want to be the support that I didn't have. So Blake is so awesome to just hear my heart, and we are now part of Embrace Grace, y'all. So I'm really excited to start that, and I am going to have like a sign-up sheet if you're just interested to come alongside. And yeah, let me explain, because she didn't really explain that part, but what it is they can, I'll talk to like the pregnancy resource centers, high schools, whatever, and let them know we're doing an Embrace Grace group, but we're also, they can find us. So it's a 12-week curriculum that these women go through to basically, we point them to who they are, we love on them, and at the very end of the 12-week curriculum, the curriculum is basically about identity, who you are. You can do this. You can have your dreams, and you can have your baby, too, period. And we want to be there for you. So it's a 12-week curriculum where we walk them through that, and at the end, there's a baby shower. We throw them a baby shower, and there's a princess day where we just doll them up, make them feel beautiful, and just it's basically letting them know, like, you're a daughter of a king. This is who you are. And it's also changing the next generation, y'all. So for the moms to know who they are, so their kids know who they are, but also there's women, there's so many testimonies if you want to go look on Embrace Grace, but so many women saying, even the dads that are a part, we help the dads too, but if there's moms where he's not a part of the life, we let them know your child does have a father, heavenly father, and you're not alone in this. I also want to say this. If you've already had an abortion and you're feeling heaviness and you've never told a soul about it, just so you know, Jesus paid it all. And somebody needs to know that in this room. And somebody has been feeling heavy and darkness and all this guilt and shame, but God wants you to know that he paid it all. And he wants you to bring it to him. So... And we love you, and we want to help you walk through healing, too, and not feel like you have to hide and that you're not welcome here. We're going to clean our hands of you because that's not true. It's a lie from the pit of hell. So I want to just, if any of this stirred you today with what I shared about marriage, motherhood, if you just feel like, man, I've done that, I've been that, and you feel like you just want to come forward and we can pray. But also, if you've also been personally affected by abortion and you want freedom, God, there's just a, like, something's about to happen today. There's somebody that walked in here with darkness and heaviness, and God just wants to take that from you. So if anyone was stirred up and wants prayer, please come to the front because I want to pray with you. We all want to pray with you. And we love you, and we're here for you. And I'm also going to have a clipboard outside, if you're interested, even if you just want to hear more about Embrace Grace. I just need a name, email, and phone number, and I'm going to put it out there.